989, please.
Authorize the acquisition of 1.87 acres of real property at 35319 Southeast Carpenter Lane in the amount of $800,000 to be used for the Bull Run Filtration Project.
Thank you. Colleagues, this property purchase is one of many steps towards the construction and completion of the Bull Run Filtration Project. We are buying the property for the land and not for the house. Although we do not have a full design for the plant, we do know we will need this piece of property for pipe alignment, regardless of what length or number of pipes we select in the design process, which will be coming back to council over the next several months. We will be bringing both the design contract, which will allow us to pay for design services, and a resolution, which will provide direction for the design of the plant on November 13th. Here to go over the purchase of the property is Ben Gossett, right-of-way manager, and David Peters, principal engineer from the Water Bureau, to answer any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Commissioners, my name is David Peters. I'm program director for the Bull Run Filtration Program. And I'd like to acknowledge in the audience today, we have a number of neighbors from around the property, around the Bull Run Filtration Program property, and want to thank them for tracking the process and being here to participate in this process. The legislation before you today is related to the purchase of property near the Bull Run Filtration Project site. It's related to the development of the filtration plant. Today, we have Ben Gossett here, the Water Bureau right-of-way manager, to explain the details of the proposed purchase.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Ben Gossett. I'm the right-of-way manager at the Portland Water Bureau. Item 989 would authorize the Water Bureau to purchase a parcel of property in Gresham, Oregon. You can see...
Do we have that so we can put it on the screen for people to see?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a slide so that people can see it?
I do not have an electronic version.
Okay, so could somebody from my office please bring in the graphic that I have in my office?
Sorry. Yes.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. This ordinance would authorize the Water Bureau to purchase the subject property. It is located across Carpenter Lane from property already owned by the Water Bureau for the purpose of planning and constructing a filtration facility. The property consists of 1.7 acres. There is a three-bedroom, three-bathroom house located on the property. There are also several other outbuildings, including a separate garage and a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment, and a barn, and several other smaller outbuildings. The purpose that the Water Bureau has for purchasing the property primarily is that it is a pipeline connection to Southeast Dodge Park Boulevard. The Water Bureau contract outlines a purchase price of $800,000. We're currently...
If we could just pause your presentation for a minute,
yes,
and ask the community media folks to please focus in on this. So this, you can't see very well, but this green is where the filtration plant is, this is where the property is, and this, there we go, this green is where the filtration plant will be built, this is Dodge Park Boulevard, the pipes will need to come off the property and get to Dodge Park Boulevard, and then they go west to the city.
That's
so
correct.
Essentially this is absolutely the place where the picture is worth a thousand words, and I apologize that we did not have it to put up for everybody.
Too. So the orange square that you were pointing to is a strategic opportunity to connect to Dodge Park Boulevard. We have a contract currently to purchase the property for $800,000 and a six-month term in which to do that, which expires on December the 20th.
And the only thing I'll add is that this property, the broker's estimate for it was $814,000, and we have we are proposing to purchase it for $800. Commissioner Fish?
Thank you very much. I have a couple questions for Dave Peters. First of all, I think it's worthwhile every time we take up a piece of this to remind the public that we are currently under a federal mandate to treat our water for cryptosporidium. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we're not here today to have a hearing on whether the federal government's ruling is wise or not, or whether we think we agree with the science or not. Today, we're talking about the acquisition of a piece of property for the pipes. The question I have for you, though, in light of the revised cost estimates of filtration is as follows. If the council chooses to revisit alternative technologies as a way of bringing the cost down, and I'm not forecasting what that would look like, but I'm just saying as part of the conversations we're having, if the council chooses to look at alternative technologies rather than revise the estimates upward as is one proposal, would we still need to acquire this piece of land, and if so, why?
Well, that's a wide-ranging question in terms of the what the technologies might be looking forward. You may recall that in 2012, we were looking at a UV facility that would be at Headworks. If that was an option, that that would not require this particular piece of property to, mm-hmm. to construct. If there's other options that could be available that could go on this site.
Other kinds of filtration options?
Any filtration option that would be on the site, anything that would be on this site would require use of this property for pipelines.
So
yes.
Even if there was a proposal for a different kind of filtration technology, because there are alternatives, we would need this property for the pipes?
If we built at this site any filtration type technology, yes. If we built at this site, that would require a pipeline through this piece of property.
Okay, and I guess I appreciate Commissioner Fritz pulling up the visual, because I think it tells a story. But can you explain just very simply why the pipes can't make a connection to any of the areas where the current our property is contiguous with the road?
In terms of the on the Dodge Park Road?
Correct.
Dodge Park Boulevard, yes. On that particular piece of property, Dodge Park Boulevard, after it goes around the curve, actually starts going downhill and drops nearly 300 feet as it goes down to Lusted Hill. So the terrain through there is very steep and would be much more costly construction.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Madam President. The public who may only read the headline and find out that we're buying a mansion, would you put on the public record why we are buying this particular piece of property and why it's vital to the project that you will be undertaking?
Okay. Well, this particular property came available for sale here at the beginning of the project, that we had a seller that was moving out of town, and we're looking to sell their property. So it was an opportunity that we looked at and said that's an opportunity where we're looking at pipelines to go out to Dodge Park Boulevard to purchase that property without having to go through processes in the future, such as eminent domain, to obtain property.
And is there any other way to complete the pipeline without going through this particular property?
Likely, there would be other ways to go that would require going across other properties, yes.
Okay, maybe my question should have been, is there a more cost-effective way for us to actually put the pipes in that we have to put in? And is this property the most financially sound way that you would recommend we move forward?
I guess my answer to that was, we believe, yes, this would be the most financially sound way to move forward.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Udeh, did you have any questions? Okay, I believe we have 12 people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have 12 people signed up, and so we'll keep it at 2 minutes. And just remind everybody that the question on the table today is, should we purchase this property or not? So if you could keep your testimony limited to, should we purchase this property or not?
The first three, please come on up, are Lightning, Ian Carter, and Lauren Carter.
Looks like Lightning has left, so call another one, please.
Oh, Lightning left. Thank you. I'm sorry. Robert West, then.
Good morning. I mean, afternoon. Welcome. Who'd like to start?
Good morning. Thank you. My name's Ian Carter. I'm a property owner near the Carpenter Lane site where the filtration plant has been proposed. With respect to this purchase of this home, a couple points I want to make. Just first off, we don't, as a community, we don't support the purchase of a private residence for this project and converting it into, really we're taking a private property for residents, converting it into a commercial industrial type property. So we're not comfortable with that change, with that land use change. But the main point I wanna make though is with respect to how this decision, the sequence of decisions that's being made here. You learned recently about a huge cost increase associated with this project at this particular site. So the cost increase has to do with the site location at the Carpenter Lane property and the type of treatment option that's been chosen, filtration. So that decision that's coming later concerning a massive budget increase, a 2 to 3-fold increase in cost because, again, of where it's being located, and the type of treatment option chosen, that decision still has to be made. So I would ask the council to delay the decision on a purchase like this for, I can see maybe the strategic thinking behind why this could be an advantageous property to own, but this is, and in the public's perception, this is an $800,000 luxury home. And after hearing the testimony on the previous subjects that you just covered, it's a little difficult for me to see how this would be palatable to the public. To purchase this home at this early stage in the process, you may not even build this treatment facility here. And to your question, Commissioner Fish, it may be that you choose UV at Headworks, which is just 1/12 of the cost of the current estimate for building at this particular location. So my request to the council is to please delay this decision until you know this is definitely the site where you intend to build this facility. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I? So a quick question. So if we did that, then the property would be sold to somebody else. Then we'd have to come back with another alternative plan if, in fact, we decided to move forward with the construction. And so, which means if we really needed to go through that spot, we'd have to actually use our power of eminent domain, and it would cost us, I'm sure, more than the $800,000 that we would pay today. How would you respond to that?
Well, that could be. You know, I'm not a city planner, and this is not what I do professionally, but I think that, in fact, our property is currently on the proposed pipeline coming up the hill, right? I don't think that the city intends to take our entire property if it's decided that it has to come up that way, which obviously we don't support that decision either. So purchasing this entire, you know, the $800,000, what you're paying for is the cost of this home, not for the land itself. The 1.8 acres or so is not worth $800,000. So I think that there are other options. I didn't personally find the Water Bureau's response to your questions about other alternatives very satisfying. I think there are other ways that would cost certainly no more than this, the cost of this property, to get that pipeline constructed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In fairness, sir, and we've been throwing numbers around here pretty loosely, and I think we have to be careful. There's no proposal currently for a 3 times the original estimate for this particular project, as you suggested. But let's go to your point. Tell us a more cost-effective alternative. This is your chance. You're before council. This is the item before us. You think there's a more cost-effective alternative? Give us an example.
Yes, UV treatment
at
Lusted Hill.
At this site for the pipes, other than this particular piece of property where the Water Bureau is proposing the pipes go through, Have you identified a more cost-effective way to put the pipes in and out of this site?
That isn't that the job of the Water Bureau, to provide options for you?
They said this is.
I'm here to tell you I don't support the purchase of the property.
Said, the Water Bureau has testified this is the most cost-effective approach. What I'm asking you is, do you have an alternative?
Are you offering me the opportunity to develop an alternative? If so, I will do that if you delay this decision. We can work together as a community to find another option. But the Water Bureau is supposed to provide that for you.
Sir,
they haven't answered your questions.
I was giving you the courtesy of asking if you had an alternative, and you don't. Let's move on.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Is this my turn?
Yeah.
I am the wife of Ian. I'm Lauren Quarter, and I live on Dodge Park, and the pipes are proposed to go through our property. And I just want to reiterate that we are opposed as a community to this. You will be ruining our community. We have a neighborhood. You are running your pipes through our neighborhood. You are buying a home for an industrial purpose. You are ruining our community. Here, you are going to ruin our property. And I want you guys also, you know, this doesn't come up in the discussions, but you guys still have to go through the land use process. You are not permitted yet to build this facility here, yet here we are talking about the purchase of a home to run the pipes through for something that hasn't been approved yet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm opposed to it.
State your name for the record, please.
Okay, my name is Robert West, and I'm opposed to this. And I'll tell you why. The city has a lot of buildings. You know, I call them eyesores. And you're going to put an eyesore out in an outer area, a smaller community area, and you're going to, you know, just build a building. I can't go out and just decide, hey, I'm going to build a store in a residential neighborhood. I got to make sure that I got the proper permits and stuff like that. It seems like you guys are rushing it. It also seems like the Water Bureau has a lot of property that they could put the building on their property instead of going out and buying property in Gresham. It just seems like it'd be better off that we build our stuff in the city of Portland. That way, if something happens, you know, an emergency or something like that, we got Portland, we got our people, Portland Fire Department, Portland Police, whatever, responding to it instead of Gresham. You know, we should be responsible for our own stuff. And I think if we build this filtration system, it should be in the city of Portland, not in the city of Gresham, not in the county or any place like that. You're talking about putting those pipes in? You can pipe the water right over to the city of Portland and have a filtration system here. You don't have to destroy a neighborhood or a community because you want to put a water filtration system out there. What's it going to do to the environment? What's it going to do to the animals and stuff out there? Did anyone ever decide what was there anything? What if there's a leak? What kind of damage can that cause to the community around you guys?
Thank you. Just so you know, the Water Bureau purchased that property in 1975. The Water Bureau has owned that property since 1975. Next three, please.
The next three are Brent Leathers, Carol Bartha, and Dee White.
Welcome, and thank you for sitting through a whole morning of other stuff. Would you like to start, please?
My name is Carol Bartha. I live in the community where the proposed water filter plant is being talked about. I oppose the purchase of the $800,000 mansion, as it's been called. You can run pipes through that property with easements. They're running pipes through my property with easements. I don't think it's necessary to purchase the land. You asked what happens if somebody buys that property before your make your decision. No one is going to buy that property. It's right across the street from a proposed water filtration plant. Trust me, if you buy it, you're never going to be able to resell it. Nobody's going to want to live there. There's other reasons I'm against it. The road is really unsafe. Dodge Park Boulevard is a narrow country road, and to have one of the reasons they said they wanted to purchase that was to have a road coming from Dodge Park up to the proposed site. It's a curvy, narrow road. It's wooded in the fall. It is slippery from all the leaves. In the winter, it's icy because sun doesn't hit the pavement. Cars are coming around curves. They're going to be coming around that curve, and trust me, they drive fast. And there's going to be a construction vehicle pulling out, or heaven forbid, a chemical truck pulling out. It's just not a good road. It's in a slide area. Trees are falling on the road all the time. A gentleman was killed when a tree hit his truck. What happens if a tree hits a chemical truck that's coming into the plant? I just don't think this property is necessary for a road. I don't think it's necessary for the pipes because you can use easements, and I just don't think it's a good choice. I would like to invite all of you to come out and visit our area. We have beautiful views of Mount Hood. It's a peaceful rural community where an industrial water treatment plant does not fit, and I really question whether you're going to get your land use permit unless, you know, I don't know. It doesn't fit the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My next. Yeah. My name is Brent Leathers. I'm also a property owner in this same neighborhood, and I've hired counsel that is supporting the group, and we will contest you every step of the way. If we happen to lose at the county conditional use hearing, I want to make sure you hear me again. I said this to you folks before. We will appeal it to LUBA. If we happen to lose at LUBA, we will take you to the Oregon Court of Appeals. And I don't say that as a threat. I just want you to really understand the house of cards that you're building this billion-dollar water treatment facility on. I've kind of morphed my presentation to you today as I've listened to where you're headed. I have provided you copies. If you'd like to get out of the group think of the Water Bureau and actually consider some other objectives, including the history that your body has made decisions upon, the cost, some articles that were written about your own statements. I presented you a nice document that we presented to the Public Utility Board that I really would just encourage you to consider reading. And finally, Commissioner Fish, I'd like to address the point that you just raised with Mr. Quarter, and I want to quote from a newspaper article from Oregon Public Broadcasting. These are quotes that I'm about to read you. Quote, Seattle and San Francisco have built ultraviolet plants to comply with the EPA's LT2 rule, and 5 years ago, the Portland City Council directed the Water Bureau to develop plans for a UV system as a hedge in case the city didn't receive its waiver. What you see in front of you here on this table are the specifications for a UV plant. Water Bureau Director Mike Sturr told the council, this pile of papers were $16 million, so you have a UV design on the shelf. He said, thanks to those existing plans, Sturr said the city could complete construction on a UV plant at the Bull Run Headworks facility within 5 years at an estimated cost of $105 million. So, sir, you have that in your hands currently. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
My name is Dee White. I'm totally against this purchase as well. I'm just going to show to the audience. I know they can't see it since y'all weren't going to provide a picture of the mansion that y'all want to tear down to put in some pipes when you haven't even decided where you're going to put the pipes. I mean, there's all these proposals out for two short pipes, one long pipe, two long pipes, one short pipe. You don't even know where you're running them. So when you bought this house back in June, when you put down your $30,000 earnest money, you had no idea where the pipes are going to go. This has just popped up, Amanda. When you told the broker was told that it was going to be a job headquarters, construction headquarters for the engineers, a job shack, if you will. And when that hit the press, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you get this fancy map drawn, and you say we're going to run a pipe through it now. Well, that's just, it's so disingenuous and not... not transparent, and not fair to the public. I'm going to read just from the pub letter that is very, very factual, that Brent was just talking about, that I would encourage y'all to read. It's really, really good. But one of the things I wanted to read is, Portland City Council approved a budget in the range of $350 to $500 million in 2018. From the testimony on the work session a couple of weeks ago, the water conduit, the pipe improvement costs were not included. Now the cost estimates are up to $850, up to $1.2 billion. And these are figures from the work session. If the decision makers had known the cost would be double or potentially triple the original estimates, would they have made these decisions? This is a quote from the Cascade Policy Institute that came out with a report on this last month. Again, if the decision makers had known the cost would be double or potentially triple, would they have made the right this different decision?
Thank you. Your time is up.
Is it possible? One more quote.
No, your time is up.
This is intentional malfeasance by the bureaucracy.
Your time is up, but I have a question for you. Because you are a very active participant in these kinds of issues, and I want to give you an opportunity to answer one very simple question. We are discussing whether we need to have access to pipes. We'll be discussing alternatives to the technology. We're going to be having a robust conversation about this. Do you acknowledge that we are required to treat our water for cryptosporidium?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I answer the question you asked earlier?
No, I'm sorry. We have other
the next three, please.
Okay.
Next three are Jeff Knapp, Linda Leathers, and Pat Meter.
I'll make sure that Linda says it.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience.
Thank
Would you.
You
like to start?
Welcome. Are there other people showing up?
Please go ahead.
Okay, my name is Jeff Knapp. I live in the general area out there. I am opposed to the purchase of this property, this $800,000 house. I must say I am sadly astonished that a bureau with such a tarnished reputation for inappropriate expenditures and wild cost overruns would think that paying $800,000 for a mansion as an appropriate job site office would be a swell idea. It's no wonder that the price of the filtration fiasco they are deceptively pushing at the city council and ratepayers has already doubled. Has the Water Bureau forgotten the Waterhouse debacle that cost over $900,000 or the $10 million settlement from 2017? The City Council has a responsibility to the ratepayers to stop this sale and revisit the now doubled cost for the filtration fiasco in light of astounding charge changes in the costs. The facts just do not support this filtration effort, and at the moment, the purchase of this property, which is still subject to the land use approvals, seems to sort of develop its own needs for entry ad hoc, and I stand ardently opposed. And there are several facts I'm wondering if the City Council is aware of. They have issued the mandated treatment of cryptosporidium has grown off into a Trojan horse of sorts for the Water Bureau to get a list of wants that they want out of this. The Water Bureau has listed, well, filtration is going to help us solve landslides, but the U.S. Forest Service did a mapping study of the watershed and found that less than 2% of the watershed is highly susceptible to landslides. And I'm not sure if the Commission is aware of its own of the Portland Water Bureau's geotechnical engineer, who has reported that the pipelines between Headwaters and Powell Butte are one of the more resilient parts of the system, but it is one of the more resilient parts of the system. The big infrastructure problem is in the city.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda Leathers, and I just have a couple quotes which are on the paper, but I want to state them. This is from the Water Bureau memo dated August 31st, 2018, with the title Filtration Plant, Key Decisions and Processes, and I quote, develop capital and operating costs so that decision makers could fairly evaluate the alternatives, unquote, And, quote, the top three community values are cost, public health, water quality, and resilience, unquote. And that is from the Water Bureau consultant FDR, February 21st, 2018. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, that was very succinct testimony. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pat Meyer, and I am a landowner on a property on Carpenter Lane. I want to thank you for listening to our testimony. I am disappointed, to say the least, that Mayor Wheeler is not here. I have three items that I would like to address. You have a paper there, so I'm not great at public speaking, so I'm going to read if you don't mind. One is the location. I am on record as saying that I oppose the purchase of this property due to the bigger picture of placing this plant on the property there. Location. It is no surprise that the rural landowners and residents of Carpenter Lane would oppose the placement of a mega industrial plant on farmed property, which is currently what the property is used for. I'll make no pretense for our concern for the perpetual negative impacts that will be on our community. As agricultural land, it tends to get lost in the discussion that the real value of land there is agriculturally zoned and operated as such. Currently in the U.S., we lose 3 acres of agricultural land a minute. That's farmland to commercial and industrial uses. That's 1.5 million acres a year. That precious loss is not only affects the landscape and the lifestyles of those in the area, but of the natural habitats of the wildlife. As agricultural land, it is an immensely valuable in natural storing and purification of the water and sequencing of carbon and greenhouse gases through plant farming. As Oregonians, we have a rich history of understanding the need and value of our natural landscape, and I urge you to consider the cost ramifications of allowing this site to become an industrial mega plant.
Thank you for your testimony. I actually have some good news on the cost and for the ratepayers as well. Yesterday we were invited to apply for a Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act loan. It's called the WIFIA loan. The Environmental Protection Agency manages it. So we hope we've been invited to apply. If we get the loan, it would be a low-interest loan that would significantly reduce the cost to the ratepayers. But we won't know whether we get that till next year.
May I reply to that?
Sure.
A loan is still a loan.
Right.
You still have to pay it back.
It's a low-interest loan that gets paid back over a longer period.
Most people that have budgets still have to qualify and have to figure out a way to pay it back. It is the middle class that will be burdened with this.
Thank you. Next three, please.
The last two are Paul Willis and Floyd Jones.
Looks like you have the last word, Floyd. Welcome.
Floyd Jones, and as those here know, I'm a founding member of Friends of the Reservoirs, and I'm also on the board of directors of Water Accountability and Trusts and Reform. So I'm speaking for myself today, I, of course, oppose this based on the bigger picture, but I wrote to you all back in July of 2017, prior to your August decision, and I said then, how can a rushed risk probability and cost analysis be trusted? And of course, now we see it cannot. And that was the problem then, and that's the problem now as we rushed through this. There was outrage at your last work session over the Water Bureau failing to tell you about these big pipe costs. Well, why wasn't there outrage as well over their slipping in there? We're not just going to be building a chemical adding filtration plant to treat non-infectious cryptosporidium, but they said, oh, we'll also add ozone. That was one of your alternatives back in 2017. UV radiation,
ozone, chlorine dioxide, or chemical filtration. So now they have you building two plants. We have conduits running to Lested Hill. Of course, you know that we don't support building any treatment plant at all because we don't have infectious cryptosporidium. We would not ever have it, barring gross malfeasance on the part of the Water Bureau, because we're not going to let humans or domesticated animals into the watershed. We do need to revisit this entire decision. And other folks have made some of the other points that, you know, these costs are unaffordable right now for the middle class. Yes, there's a great low-income program. We've had that all along. We had the best low-income program. That doesn't help the middle class pay for these water bills. And you know, if we had a choice of saying how were we going to comply with this, I think we should still go back and seek a waiver. But nonetheless, chlorine dioxide, the cheapest option, no additional unwanted chemicals. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all who signed up, I believe. So thank you to everybody who's come today. And I'm truly sorry about the impact on your community. And I have to keep in mind that this project is designed to provide safe and abundant water for a million people for many generations to come. And that's what's at stake here. So this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.